This is Rock Talk, a community issues presentation of Legends 1027 WLGZ. Now, here's your host, Ed Smith.
And good morning. Thanks for joining us here on Rock Talk. Ed Smith joined by Sal Gerbino, the chair of the Polar Plunge here in Rochester. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning, Ed. How are you doing this morning?
I'm great. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm sitting back looking at some green grass that hopefully will be snow-covered and much colder weather by the 5th of February for the plunge.
Yes, it's coming up. I know there's a little bit in the forecast, but I don't know enough to stick. So no matter the weather, you guys will do the polar plunge though, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's time of year dictates the coldest plunge in New York State by our standards. We pick literally the coldest month or so of the year, and bragging rights belong to us. We hold 19 other plunges in the state. The Rochester Plunge is the largest, highest grossing up until, and Ed, this is a tough one to say, up until this year, our Buffalo contingent scored pretty high on the dollar scale, and we're hoping not to have been overridden on money raised, but we still have another 3 weeks to go, or two and a half, before we can check those numbers out.
Well, hopefully, you know, if somebody's listening, Sal, and they want to get involved, they can join as an individual or as a team and help raise some money for the Special Olympics and keep Rochester in that top spot, right?
Yes, sir. That's what we're hoping for.
So tell us, Sal, you're the chair of this Polar Plunge on a cold February day. How did you get involved with that in Special Olympics?
Ed, what a lot of people don't know, the Polar Plunge is run by law enforcement members, volunteers, family members, and friends through the Law Enforcement Torch Run. So the Torch Run exists solely to raise funds and awareness for Special Olympics, and the members of the Law Enforcement Torch Run, in the fundraising direction that we move, try to come up with the craziest, most off-the-wall things that will raise money and will have a life to them. So if you know anything about fundraising, initially you may try something and it'll have a pretty good life, and then it'll die out as new things come in. So we started, the Torch Run is right now, it's approximately 35 years old in New York State. And to answer your question, my involvement, back in approximately 1985, I was asked to assist when the Torch Run was in its infancy stages in Rochester. And my mentor, a lieutenant from the town of Greece Police Department, Jim Weidman, he pretty much brought the Torch Run into the Rochester area under the Greece Police Department. I was working for the Gates Police Department at the time. Started out assisting, and over the years, I went from assisting to Jimmy pretty much handing the reins over to me. 2001, we, sheriff's deputy and I, a gentleman by the name of Tony Sturpey, decided we were going to try two crazy events at the same time, the polar plunge and an airplane pull at the Rochester Airport during the air show that year. The airplane pull, it went off okay, but it wasn't the big fundraiser. The polar plunge, in our first year, our infant year, I call it, we had approximately 75 plungers and raised $15,000.
That's fantastic in the first year. Wow.
So that opened the door for us to decide to put all of our attentions into the plunge, and we kind of let the airplane pull go by the wayside. And from that point on, over the next 20 years, it progressed up to our current standards of somewhere between 1,000 and 2,000 plungers, depending on the year. We currently average approximately $250,000 each year, with our banner year having been, I believe it was 2017-ish, at $340,000.
Absolutely incredible. That is a lot of money raised to help out Special Olympics.
Yeah, we've been pretty successful, pretty lucky in our endeavors. But again, our motivation, once we started doing these things, everyone kind of stood back and go, that's crazy. Why would people do that? The reality is the cause is Special Olympics, and the athletes are the reason we do it. A lot of people will say, gee, that sounds kind of cliche. You do it for the athletes. Well, we do it for the athletes, but the fun of doing it, we can never, you know, minimize. It's literally a bragging rights type of fun money-raising event. You can don whatever type of costume you want or standard bathing suit. You raise the minimum amount that we ask you to raise in order to be able to plunge. And that amount, and currently it's $100 that you need to raise. You obtain an embroidered sweatshirt, and you earn the right to plunge. Jumping into Lake Ontario when the water is shy of 40 degrees,
yeah,
the ice can be, it can be as much as 6 inches to 2 feet thick at the shoreline. You're charging into the water, having the fun of it with the adrenaline going, the music going, the pipes and drums leading, an athlete and a law enforcement officer carrying the torch, what we call the flame of hope, down to the water to lead the parade. And once you hit the water and you're out, pretty much a quick end to the day.
But it's that adrenaline leading up to it. My gosh, with what you're building, that it's quite the anticipation until you hit that freezing cold water.
Yeah, that's a huge piece of it. Adrenaline does carry a lot of people. And the crowd, there's something to be said for doing things in groups. If you were to try and walk out to Lake Ontario right now, even today, bathing suit on, and consider going into the water, it takes a lot of nerve, and not many people could do it. 1,000 to 2,000 friends or other crazy people standing around you going with you, it does something for the energy boost. I will say, let's speak for a second about the safety feature. Over the years, we've had people question and challenge, how can you do this? How can you let a parent come out with their young child on the coldest day of the year, and on occasion it's been the coldest day of that year, and go icy water? The reality is, the first couple of years, we did pretty extensive research, and we were dealing with a couple of the local hospitals, their emergency, we had a couple of emergency doctors, emergency room doctors, and we solicited information on weather, water, and those types of things. And to put it in simple terms, and when I speak, I try to speak in simple terms because I'm simple, Ed, not to insult anybody. It's not the cold or it's not the weather or the water that someone is going to be hurt by. It's excessive amount of time in the water or out in the inclement weather. And for that reason, we start out in a warm environment. We march down to the water. Everyone is allowed to go in. And quite honestly, 99% of the people come barreling out as quickly as they went in because it is so cold.
Yeah.
And as soon as they're out of the water, warm towels and another warm environment to go back and change. So the safety part, it's all intact. We have the Rochester Police Department scuba team, the Monroe County Sheriff's Department scuba team, the United States Coast Guard, Seabreeze Cold Water Rescue, Rochester Fire Department Cold Water Rescue, as well as numerous other EMTs and ambulance corps personnel, just for the safety piece. And I can say, I can brag today, we've never, and I mean over 22 years up to this point, we have never had anyone that sustained an injury or an illness at the plunge that was a product of the plunge. Just by sheer numbers, ironically, we've had minor medical issues with some of even our own staff at times that coincidentally were present and something came up and it had nothing to do with the plunge. We're batting 1,000 right now, and we're confident we can do the same because our safety regulations are we truly live by them. No one's allowed to dive headfirst into the water ever, though you can fully submerge if you want and hang out if you choose also.
Is there a limit, Sal? Like if somebody goes out and they do kind of squat down or submerge in the water, are you guys watching for, okay, they've been in there for a minute or something, like they got to come out? Or
we don't have a stopwatch, and we don't literally count the minutes, but with the number of personnel that we have, and when I give you the litany of different organizations, they're literally in the water surrounding all of the plungers. So, yes, we keep an eye on people. If you can believe this, we have a couple of athletes that, Special Olympics athletes, that also plunge. We actually have numerous athletes that plunge. And there are a couple in particular that when they hit the water, they don't want to get out. They're having such a great time. They're surrounded by friends, and we just get to a point where we say, okay, and they're escorted out happily by someone from school or whatever. Relative to other people, if someone is in a crowd of people and it even looks like they have a concern on their face, there are support people that are immediately approaching going, are you all right? Yeah, and our arm is extended, and they're helped out a little more quickly than they might on their own. So, again, we're not timing it, but we're right on top of every single minute people are in the water.
Well, that makes sense. You guys are law enforcement and first responder background. Safety is one of your priorities in your day-to-day job, let alone a special event with thousands of people like this.
Yeah, that's always prepare for the worst and hope for nothing at all to go wrong. And again, we've been blessed with that. And it really does have a lot to do with the quality of our volunteer staff. And quite honestly, the plungers. Another thing I'm happy to boast, we've never had plungers that we've had a problem with. Everyone's charged up and raring to go, and we ask them just not to go charging into the water down the length of the runway. When they're right at the edge, that last 10 or so feet, that's where you can gain a little bit of a running start and go plunging in. But again, no one has ever caused us any problems at the water's edge or with the rules that we have in place. So,
no, that's perfect. You guys got a great track record, and we are talking with Sal Grabino here from the Polar Plunge. And, of course, the Polar Plunge this year coming up in just a couple of weeks on February 5th. And looking for your support, of course, because, if you can join as an individual or even better as a team, that would be appreciated. And Sal, I'm wondering, do most people do it as a team then? Because you're talking about how, everybody kind of groups together and they get ready to go in and it's, that adrenaline kicks in. Is that typically what happens?
Initially, the Rochester Market, our greatest number of plungers were individual plungers.
Wow.
We call them recidivists. They would return in probably 65 to 70% of our plungers would return each year as we grew. As that started to play out year after year, again, with intentions of raising more money every year, we started pressing for people to form their own teams. As we did that, the team effect seemed to override in numbers the individuals at today's standard. So groups from schools, athletic groups, and I say schools from grammar school, middle school, high school, colleges, business groups. We have law enforcement groups. We have military groups. I'd venture to say there probably isn't a group of people you could name that I wouldn't say we have at least someone from that walk of life doing the plunge each year.
And if somebody's listening and they want to get together with a group, just head to your website to register. What's the best way to get involved?
Very simple. Polarplunge.net. Again, polarplunge.net. Click on and you'd be prompted to any one of two or three simple ways in. Plunge, support, sponsor. Once you click in, you can navigate easily across that entire spectrum of supporting the event.
That's fantastic. And again, they are looking for your help. So head to the website. Sal, I'm wondering, you mentioned that, you guys started with a couple of crazy events about 20 some years ago, and this one beat out the airplane event. What made you guys choose Special Olympics?
That's another thing that's unique about the Law Enforcement Torch Run. Unlike some charities, the Torch Run came to be in support of Special Olympics. It's the only organization that we exist for. Police chief from the Midwest, back in the day when Eunice Kennedy Shriver was just starting Special Olympics, took four of his other police officers from a small police agency and ran a torch in support of the event. It was such a big hit that he then approached Eunice, and believe it or not, it grew from that to the roughly 40-country international organization that we are now with hundreds of thousands of law enforcement. That organization created multiple different fundraising events, and it sounds kind of crazy again, but within the organization, we actually tell the members across the spectrum, plagiarize within the organization. If we do a plunge in Rochester and you want to do a plunge in another state, we'll give you the tools and we'll give you the package on how to do that. airplane poles, rappelling off the top of buildings, cops on top of donut shops. So Special Olympics is why we came to be. And probably one of the more unique things in that relationship, I'm a career law enforcement officer. That's what our organization exists around. And when you interact with a Special Olympic athlete for the first time in uniform, the relationship, the bond is almost instant. The athletes, they love to see the uniforms. They then gravitate toward us, and our interaction with them creates almost instant relationships that are lifelong. I can tell you I've traveled to multiple different countries with athletes from upstate New York and other states, and they are truly my brothers and sisters that have never put on a uniform in their lives. They become, family members of a different sort.
The bond becomes strong for sure, which is great and wonderful that you guys are able to engage with them that way. And what a beautiful relationship that is. Again, we are talking with Sal Garbino here about the Polar Plunge and Special Olympics. And Sal, I'm wondering, I'm looking on your website right now, and let's say somebody's listening and they're too intimidated by the cold waters of Lake Ontario, but they want to come out. Is there other festivities? Is there a way for them to donate or get involved without actually going in the water?
Yes, Ed. The entire event is a family-friendly event that we let people know you can plunge, you can volunteer, or you can show up just to watch the event, in which case, when you're there, you can, if you choose, support by buying raffle tickets or donating on-site. There's no charge for anyone ever to show up. There's again, the plunge does require what we call the donation part, but that also involves the waiver and such. If you're familiar with the Roebuck Center down at Charlotte Beach, The entire building and the east and west courtyards are where we work out of. So if you want to show up and you have any issues with cold weather, since we exist for those with intellectual disabilities, it's handicapped accessible up to the second floor of the building. If you needed to have a warm place to watch from, or you can show up on the beach. Our volunteer base is roughly 200 people every year. Our spectator base is probably 3,000 plus. It's open to the entire Rochester area. Actually, it's open to anyone from anywhere that can hear us, and they can come down and just have a great time. We have a professional DJ pushing out the tunes all morning from 9 o'clock on when we start our registrations. We're selling coffee, bagel, donuts, pizza, other things for food intake, if that's what you're there for, or you just want to enjoy while you're waiting. Another piece, we're attached to the Ontario Beach Park Program Committee's Winterfest, and that was part of the plan 20 years ago, or now 23 years ago when we started. As a new event, we were hoping to break into winter with something that we could raise a few bucks at with. And the Winter Carnival was run down there for, I believe at that time, already 5 to 10 years. So I spoke to the guru of the Winterfest and asked if we could attach. And believe it or not, they had to vet us. But this is a family-friendly event. It's a city-county coordination for everyone in the area. And we have to make sure whatever you're doing is going to be wholesome and we'll support the Winter Festival. That first year, we were allowed to attach to them. We ran the plunge in conjunction with the festival on the same day. And over the next 3 years, we grew so quickly that the Winter Fest asked us, and I became a part of that committee. The Winter Fest asked if we would mind turning it into a two-day event. And ironically, the 2 days was Winter Fest opening day, Polar Plunge closing day. So we're pretty much second day in its entirety, just because our numbers overwhelmed the entire process.
Sure, which is great that you guys have built that much community support, that many people turning out in the middle of winter to head up to Ontario Beach Park.
Yeah, to say the least.
Yeah, but it's great. So I'm looking right now, we've talked about, building teams and everything. And as you and I are talking right now, your top 5 or 6 teams right now include the Webster Teachers Association, the Angry Penguins, Wicked Cold, the PSTF recruit class of 71, the Monroe County Sheriff's Office, and the post 468 Polar Clubs, all coming in right now anywhere between $3,500 and $7,500, which is fantastic that more and more people and groups are getting involved.
Yes, and the other neat thing, and you're speaking to it, is the fact that you can track your team. We actually, that process is built into our website. So if you register as an individual, you'll see those numbers for just the amount of money that you raise as you go. You register as a team, as you can see, it'll pre-fill for you. And when you send people to the website and say, hey, all you have to do is you can have the last name of the plunger or the team name. And if you're not sure of it, you can search within the website. And it's very easy to donate to the person or the team that you want to support. Just as an add-on, we have multiple different teams and individuals. And actually, we have many events at the plunge that you can be acknowledged for. We have our Cool School Challenge. The school that raises the most money, they get their school logo attached to our embroidered sweatshirt the following year. Law enforcement team that raises the most money, there's a trophy that gets handed down from team to team every year, strictly within the law enforcement category. Contest for best costumes. We actually have a local judge who sits as our judge for the costume contest. And I can tell you right now, again, I'll challenge you, name a costume, name a famous celebrity, and I would venture to say you probably couldn't come up with one that we don't have represented at the plunge.
Oh, I love it.
The costumes abound, and you can also do it, as I said, in your bathing suit, your suit and tie, or any one of the costumes that you decide to come out with.
Sal, it sounds like this has really become, you know, a full-on, like you're saying, a full-on event that has really grown, and it's family-friendly. It's been tested year after year. It's a wholesome event, as you mentioned, and Winterfest, and just so many activities going on. You know, we're just a couple of weeks away. Again, we're talking about the Polar Plunge 2023 coming up on February 5th, and registration going on right now on their website. If somebody's listening, Sal, and they want to get involved as a volunteer, are you still looking for volunteers for this year?
And I will accept volunteers at this point. I will say that we do. It's a wonderful thing to say that we get oversaturated with volunteers, and the last thing we want to do is ask folks to show up and not have something to do.
Yeah.
So we're pretty close to that number right now. Our repeat volunteers are pretty much worked into the system each year. And we do accept, as I am currently, additional volunteers, but I would caution that with, if you volunteer at this point, please accept that we would love to have you. Let us know you're interested, and don't be offended if we say, yeah, we're kind of full, and please stick around for next year. We'd be happy to work you in then, you know, at the head of the list, so to speak. So,
no, totally understand, but that's a great thing that you guys have. You know, you've got that support from the community that comes back every year to be a part of it and volunteer. And I can't believe it's almost here. Again, it is February 5th. More details on their website. Again, thank you for joining me this morning, Sal. If you're listening and you want to get involved, you want to make a team or register, just go to polarplunge.net. Thank you so much, Sal, for all of your information. And we wish you guys the best. And we know you're going to keep Rochester in the number one spot as far as the plunges go.
I really appreciate you folks helping us out with this, and it truly does help. And the more publicity, the more people that hear this, the better for ultimately the athletes, because that's where the money goes. And again, all of the money goes directly to the athletes, Special Olympics New York. And it's not just if I could for a second, Special Olympics, a lot of folks, it's not completely understood. It's not just athletes or Special Olympics athletes participating in the sport. It's life lessons. And when I say life lessons, the athletes in Special Olympics, if, for instance, today, if I were to say I needed five athletes to come and do an interview, I'd probably have a hard time getting them, because the benefits through Special Olympics, most of them have jobs now. Mm. Most of them are going on to higher education. They're doing things that literally take them away from being able just to hang out when we want to hang out, which is how, you know, it was back in the day. So with that, the benefits are to the athletes in Special Olympics, and every dime raised goes directly to them.
No, that's a beautiful thing, being able to give them so many opportunities, you know, locally and in our whole region is a great thing.
Yes, sir.
You've been listening to Rock Talk, a community issues presentation of Legends 102.7 WLGZ, DJRO Broadcasting.